All right, I guess I'll go ahead and start. John usually does the intros, so it's probably going to sound less shitty for me, even though very lame. This will be episode 12 of Masters of Nothing.
Yeah, Jake and John podcast.
Close enough. As you can tell, John's not here, and we haven't had an episode in a couple weeks because John's got a fancy new job with his fancy new college degree and everything, so he's scheduling that. I've had a few personal things come up the last couple of weeks, and timing was right tonight, though, for sure. And go ahead and introduce yourselves, fellas.
Yeah, you go. They know me already.
All right. Well, I'm new on this, so I think my name's been mentioned in the past. I am the king of anime in all of Orlando. The monotone messiah. MFK legend himself, Kent Ward.
And you also have your own podcast, too.
I do. I haven't recorded an episode in like 2 months.
So you're kind of like us.
My issue is, I got to record an episode with Shane, my co-host.
Because he's an old man. You're both old.
But that's my issue. It's like, fuck, I gotta record an episode with this guy. Plus, I've been extremely busy because I work for a local convention called Anime Fest for Orlando that's coming up at the end of the month, and that's a lot of work. A lot of free time has disappeared.
What are you looking at, my PS4 controller?
Yeah, it's got two different color things.
Do you know why?
No, why?
Whose face is on the cover of my PS4?
Oh, Retro Kylo Ren.
Yeah, that guy.
It's me. It's me again. It's Sean. I'm back.
Yeah, he's been on a few episodes of the old one. This is your first time on the rebranded brand spanking
new. We did, what was the first one?
The first one that we did, I think it was after a Shine.
Yeah, and
TC was here, too.
Yeah, and then the next one was the special episode.
The Gasparilla Music Festival.
I actually listened to that episode of the podcast.
I didn't.
Swinging endorsement from the king of anime in Orlando.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned before that I'm the co-host of a panel. This is the other jerk.
Yeah, we're the host of It's Manime.
The Manly Anime panel.
That's going to be a... There's also an episode of the Propeller Anime podcast.
Yeah, episode number 39?
25.
That's what I said.
Go to www.propelleranime.com to listen to that, I guess.
Segways. Speaking of anime... We have here Jake's Crunchyroll account.
Oh, yeah, we got to go through this.
These guys are going to judge me on it.
We are going to judge
very harshly.
All right, so you have Attack on Titan. You only watched two episodes of Attack on Titan, the hottest anime of 2013.
Do you remember the first time, most people even heard of Anime Titan and was that poster you gave away at one of your events?
Oh, yeah, I actually had a poster from the manga for Attack on Titan, raffled that off.
Yeah.
But that was before the anime came out.
Yeah, it was because the manga won, buku awards and stuff.
Yeah.
To be fair, I watched all of Kill la Kill, so I'm halfway for 2013.
Let's go next.
We got Attack on Titan. You all know that. Hey, even high school
people. The strongest woman in the world, which I tried watching that.
The wrestling one?
The one with the big-tittied female wrestlers.
It's Japanese. You didn't even have to include the other part.
The big titty part.
Then we got JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, which everybody should watch.
Very important.
That douchebag Kishibe shows up this week.
Yeah, so one of the most popular characters in the series is going to be even more popular now that people watching the anime.
Because he's Hiraki.
Yeah.
He is Hiraki.
Self-insert manga character.
Then we got, how do you say that?
IQ, that's the volleyball anime.
Oh, this isn't about scholastic aptitude tests and
that's
shit?
It's like the new, you know those chicks at anime
cons? I don't
cons?
Care, next one.
Hold on, no, we gotta talk about this.
No,
you know those chicks at anime cons that like to fantasize about straight fictional characters being gay? That's the anime for that crowd right now, the volleyball one.
So, Black 2004, Blackjack.
It's Blackjack, that's probably good.
I actually did not know that existed until earlier today when we were going through the whole lineup of Crunchyroll.
I had the date completely wrong, because I thought it was a 90s
anime. Now, wasn't this the one where, episode 3 or 4, they never showed it on Japanese TV because, an earthquake happened around that time?
I don't know. I know that there's a couple of these. I don't think I've seen this one.
All right, go on.
Then we have this garbage.
DD Fist of North Star. Fucking hot garbage, like Sean said.
Yeah, I didn't say hot, but that's...
It is hot. It's a fucking... how do I say this? It's like, you know how people freak out about the new Ghostbusters movie?
Yeah.
Well,
it's hot garbage.
Everything they freaked out about is accurate with this.
Yeah.
It should have been set on fire.
It sucks. And it's a cast of all
this,
women.
This anime is why they have a childbirth problem in Japan. Because none of the women want to have sex with the guys anymore because there's no men in Japan.
Because
they'd rather watch this than the real Fist of North Star.
Distancing myself from that comment.
I won't even disagree with you guys on that
one. All right. So, next we have...
Gargantuan Veritas
Planet. Okay, I watched this. This is about some space warrior dude gets messed up with space whales and they shoot him to Earth.
There's robots, right?
You should know. You're the one. I've only know this because I saw it at your anime
show. Well, that was a vote. Cool. That was a Democratic vote, and it made it in the top five. And I'm like, okay, show it.
You're peeking like a mofo. But I watched it. It was all right. I think the cool things about it were like in the little details. Like he doesn't speak the language that they speak. So he has to like work through a translator and like learn the language. And they got like some weird hippie religion.
He didn't do any 13th Warrior stuff where he just listens until he figures it out.
That's kind of what he has technology helping him out. And he's like a super genetically enhanced weakling. He looks like a little girl, but Japan. So, all right, Skek Dance.
That was made 3 years after the manga mattered.
Yes, and this one, even though I never really finished the manga, like it had a place in my heart because I actually started it at the same time. The first chapter came out. Yeah,
same here.
That's nice. No game, no life.
Burn it. There are people that like this anime because they want to pretend that if they play games a lot, they'll be successful in real life. And that's not how that works.
I like this anime. I thought the animation on it was neat.
Well, the art style is good, yes.
The art style is really cool. That's and about it. Like, the JoJo's references, like, nobody's business.
Well, they reference a lot of stuff.
The first one that they do is about, like, a chess match. And there's just way too many hypotheticals for him to know that what was going to happen was going to happen. Because, mm-hmm. like, oh, it's a chess match. We do this chess match. And it's like, oh, and then, like, the soldiers turn on their king. Like, what?
They make up rules and shit as they go along in these games.
After that one, the second one that they do with the word game mm-hmm. is actually like, oh, wow, that's neat. And Justin really likes this.
Okay.
So, Sailor Moon Crystal.
Episode 6 is what is up next. So
it's just the manga, right?
He made it
pretty much.
Okay.
He made it further than I did. I quit episode 3.
And to be fair, it's like...
I like Sailor Moon, though.
Like most things in my life, video games, and if you see my Netflix queue, oh boy. It's just one of those things I, you know, got caught in the wayside. True. Something else came out.
All right. Ruby, RWBY. Didn't this guy die?
Yes. Yeah, Monty Ohm, he died, but the series still continued. I watched the first episode, I think, when it came out, and I didn't really care for it too much, but, I mean, everyone keeps talking about it. Like,
I saw the trailers for it a while back, because they had those trailers everywhere, I think through, like, Rooster Teeth or something.
Well, they're the ones who make it.
Oh, okay, yeah. That makes sense. And I thought it was, like, one of those, because that guy did all those, like...
Haloid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just one of those. I didn't know it was a series until the guy died.
Popular series that's, I think it's been picked up for like a manga in Japan and everything. Yeah, too. It's an American
creation. Aren't there like some cosplayers or something that are voice actors on this?
Oh, I'm sure there are.
All right, Terra from Mars.
I want to watch this, but I never got the chance
to. God damn it, kids.
I'm busy. I have a whole slew of things in my life.
I recommended it. Justin loves it. Dan likes it. It's super, super good. It's been on the list of things I've been trying to get you to watch since it came out.
Well, I've been busy, and other people have recommended it to me as well. It looks pretty neat.
It is really awesome.
I think the second season started recently,
too. Oh, I didn't know that they were doing a second season. Well, that censoring, though.
Yeah, it looked like the image changed on Crunchyroll, so I'm like, oh, it must be a second season.
They black out half the screen.
Yeah, there's some where, like... You see a person's face and the rest of the screen is just black.
That's just funny how they censor anime now. It's just like, oh, this part's all black by the DVD.
What was the one that we were Berserk?
Berserk.
They have the Casca scene early on. Well, somebody was getting destroyed.
Well, there's a scene where they reference Casca getting wrecked by Griffith from the end of the
and it's all just black.
First series. It's all black, and then there's a part where Guts
but it still cuts hurts.
Guts cuts a little girl in half, and that's all black.
And then, like, she's black for us. I can't understand what my husband is saying.
Did you put this on my queue? Because I don't remember putting this on my queue.
I recommended it to
you. That might have been why it's on
But I've never actually been on your queue.
Is this the one where the chick marries an otaku and she can't understand him?
No, they get along just fine. It's just, like, she talks about, he'll use slang or the one with his, like, waifus.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's just like, shut up, I'm your wife. But it's just about some chick and her husband. I mean, it's a good... There's one where he meets her father who looks like he's younger than them, both of them. And he teaches them how to cook. It's a slice of life that's actually good. Okay. It's funny. I mean, it is genuinely
You know
funny.
What's a really good slice of life anime?
Captain Harlock.
I was going to say Saki Kake Otoko Chuku.
No, you don't have to explain that one to me.
But Captain Harlock is also good.
That is the next thing.
Well, I'm excited about this. I actually downloaded the fan subs many years ago, and then hard drives die one time.
Oh, man, yeah.
But Now, we found out earlier that this is on Crunchyroll, so I added it to my queue as well. So hopefully after AFO, I can actually watch all of Captain Harlock.
Yeah, Captain Harlock is super good.
So
I watched the movie, too.
The new one, the CG one?
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. Pretty...
It leaves a lot to be desired. But I have a fun story about this. So a couple years ago, they
Gintama!
No, motherfucker! Gintama, I gotta tell the story.
The first episode of Gintama's filler.
Oh, I'm gonna tell it anyway. So, Nobuo Uematsu was in Orlando years ago.
Oh, I remember this.
Yes, it was a show that happened. And my friend Chris Cruz dressed up as Captain Harlock and went to go to their autograph session. And usually you want to take photos with, like, the actual celebrities. But, like, Chris's Captain Harlock costume was so fucking good that Nobuo and his whole posse wanted to take pictures with him. That's my story.
So, Gintama...
That's how iconic Captain Harlock is in Japan. No,
never heard of him. Anyway, Gintama... Is this the new one, or is this the OG one?
It's the OG one, which I think I've seen, like, back in the day, I think I watched, like, the first 20 or so episodes, like, when it was coming out, and it's a series I've always loved and just wanted to get back into.
It picks right back up with the most recent one, too. Like, it has a notorious first episode, because the first episode is filler. Like, they do it to mess with you. I love the one where they're, like, trying to change the next title. One Piece. Who hasn't seen One Piece?
Next? Episode 680. Holy shit.
680 is not even the current one.
It's not even current.
Yeah.
Wow.
Saint Seiya Omega, is this the new one or the one before?
I don't know. I just put all the Saint Seiya shit on here.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's more Saint Seiya. Toriko.
Well, I still have that on here?
Yeah, it's apparently mildly popular. And that's Toriko with Luffy.
I see something a little bit further to the right that's got my interest.
That's the live action GT.
That's
the
one I was talking about.
Okay, so maybe you got some good taste. Maybe we can't make fun of you.
This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about motherfucking Golden Boy.
Have you read this manga?
I read some of it.
It's way longer than the OVA.
And it's also more fucked up. And he gets away. Golden Boy is the greatest comedy anime. Well, one of the greatest comedy animes. Because you could also argue Cromartie High is one of the greatest comedy animes.
It's
but
like slapstick, though, when Cromartie's that, like, real dry. Like, it's so dry that it's practically like a Japanese Monty Python. Like the episode where they're humped. Next! Food Wars!
That's because of you.
And people laughed at people liked that when I showed it at Anime Night a few months ago.
Hey, and I actually, like, went on a thing where I made most of the dishes but fixed them because Japan has weird taste.
That's because of Kent.
What the hell is this?
That's the anime the Sega about one. Sega. It's the Sega anime. That.
Inferno Cobb.
One of the most important animes ever.
Yeah. This was Trigger's, right?
Yes.
Yeah, one of the Trigger's first ones after the Little Witch Academia.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, just got announced for a TV series.
Yeah, Pound It. We were
awesome
talking
stuff,
about that earlier.
Yeah, good stuff.
I actually, Trigger made something that I didn't like.
Is it that Slice of Life one that I haven't watched?
No. That's better. That's better than the Samurai one that I was looking for. The Ninja one that I was
ninja
looking for.
Ninja Scroll? Too. Ninja Slayer?
Yeah, Ninja Slayer. Because it was crap. They tried to do it like Inferno. It was crap. You haven't seen this. I'm assuming it's just Young Blackjack.
Yeah, it's the origin story of Blackjack, one of the most iconic manga characters in Japan.
Then there's Lupin the Turd.
Lupin the Third, Part 4.
It says Lupin the Turd.
The Third.
I don't know how you pronounce three.
Yeah, well,
he's from New York. He's a Turd.
But no, that's a great series. I finished that up.
I haven't seen this part yet.
Definitely one of my favorite shows of the past
year. I think I've only seen part two.
Part four is pretty good. Like, there's a lot of great solo episodes. It's got a good continuing story.
Is Jigen back?
Jigen's always there, dog.
Sold. Watching it tonight.
Goemon.
Mobile Suit Gundam, Iron-Blooded Orphans. I like this. I'm about halfway through it. Yeah. God, you're not giving us anything to shit on. Lupin Part 1. Yeah.
Part 2, Part 3. Fist of North
Fist
Star
of
the
North
movie.
Star. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, I've never seen this.
Anime. It's the first episode of the anime for Final Fantasy XV.
Just take it off your queue.
Naruto.
Take that off your queue.
Naruto.
Take that off your queue.
Naruto.
Take that off your
queue. What the fuck?
All right, we got to talk about this, Jacob.
Okay, first of all, if there's any credence to that for you guys, Animerica does the theme song for that.
Who does?
Animerica.
The magazine?
Animerica, wow. Animetal.
Huh?
You don't know Animetal?
It's nerd music. Why would I care?
It's not nerd music. They're fucking actual musicians from metal bands like Dio and shit that form together to do heavy metal covers of Japanese anime
yes,
songs.
Yes, they That's do the nice. Theme song for the Rock Lee series.
Alright, yeah, whatever.
Well, I'll check out the opening.
Kids on the Slope. What's the Japanese name for this?
I forget, but it's directed by Shinichiro Watanabe,
it's
the Cowboy Bebop guy. But this is very good.
It's one of the best slice of life animes in the past, like, 15, 20
plus
years.
Plus, it's got good historical context as well.
Yeah, it does. That's why it's bearable. Madoka Box.
All I know
I don't know a ton about this. I think
it's showing Jump property, so I put it on the
first. Yeah, it was one of some Jump Ultimate Stars.
I think she's like a super Mary Sue or something, and her friend is like her bitch.
She has massive tits.
Also a Shonen Jump from the game.
Is this the gangster one?
Yes,
we're like some of the Yakuza boss. I don't know. That's what it says.
Where does it say that? Oh, there's a synopsis.
The first one.
Say its name so they know what we're talking about.
Raku, the son of Yakuza boss.
I guess.
Is a high school student that blah blah.
Yeah, I've already lost interest. Saint Seiya again.
Saint Seiya.
My God. Indra would love this.
Do they have the original Saint Seiya?
Samurai Flamenco. I don't know.
I don't think they do.
So they have all the other Saint Seiyas except the original series?
I'm pretty sure, yes.
Good job, Crunchyroll.
Samurai Flamenco, I couldn't get into this.
It's like Tokusatsu Kick-Ass. Like, he starts off trying to be Kamen Rider, then he ends up being part of a Power Rangers team. But more importantly, Space Adventure Cobra's on
here. Yeah, Space Adventure Cobra's next.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we don't really have to say much about Space Adventure Cobra.
Remember that one time he dressed up as a luchador to snipe out the spirit of Adolf Hitler?
Yeah, I do. Oh, then we got... is this the...
It's that anime that fucking Shane likes for some reason.
It's the one about girl. The loser chick.
It's the Creeper Girl anime.
I must have recently put that one on there.
Yeah, that's alright.
You could give it a bit.
Berserk Episode 1, we're proud of you.
We just came out.
We don't have to drown you.
Did you watch it yet?
I haven't had time to watch anything yet.
Yay! It's the last one. Segway. Double Hard is the last
one. Yeah, we just watched this today. We looked through the queue, and I was recommended by my friends Kenny and Quartz to check out Double Hard. They've been asking me about it for like the last, I don't know, almost a year now.
It's been mentioned. It was mentioned to me a while ago by that same guy that I told you keeps recommending that we do Congo Boncho for some reason.
Okay, well, Double Hard is a pretty hot-blooded, hard-boiled anime. It kind of reminds me of like those like 80s Hong Kong action flicks that would probably have someone like Chow Yun-Fat in them. Like that kind of like tough grittiness.
Yeah, but with like 90s kids.
Kids. It's also, you could also compare it to like maybe River City Ransom. Like
yeah, it is a lot like River City Ransom.
If River City Ransom was an anime, it would be Double Hard.
And it has this like character that's apparently super, super famous. That dude with the blonde flat top looking thing.
Well, he's infamous because he's the baddest motherfucker in Shibuya.
True, but like his character is apparently like a super recognizable icon among Asian speakers among
anime. He looks like fans. Yamazaki from King of Fighters.
He does look like Yamazaki from...
That's what I thought when I first saw him as Yamazaki.
But it's super 90s. Like, there's a part where one of the characters is talking to that guy on a brick phone, and his cell phone is one of those, like, OG black flip phones.
Yep.
Like the 94, 95 flip phone.
Well, even when the arcade, he's playing a game that's very much reminiscent of like the old Tekken games.
Yeah, it's blatantly...
Like SW Saki.
It looks like it's supposed to be Tekken 2.
Yeah.
Because it looks like Kazuya Mishima versus King in his Tekken 2 outfit.
Well, there's this guy, Daiki, who once lived in Shibuya. His father is a cop, and his father went from Shibuya to Los Angeles to run their... While he was doing that, even before he left, he was running around with Jin, the Yamazaki-looking dude, and there was this group called the Two-Man Army that just fucked up all the gangs and stuff, because that's what they do, so people feared him, but they split up when Daiki went to L.A., but then he came back, and he's still a badass, and gets in the fights right off the get-go.
Yeah,
and every episode, there's a fight.
He's just like, he's such a dick that it's elegant.
He's but a like, gentleman dick.
He's never a dick to anyone.
Sounds
who
like an episode title to me.
He's never a dick to anyone who doesn't deserve it. And even his buddy's like awesome. Like he has like a high school chick that follows him around. When he meets her, the guy doesn't. I mean, he's usually like either doesn't say anything to other people or he's like real subtle. But he's like, "Hey, you're feisty. I like this chick. Ladies first." He lets her into his car. And he's like, "Yeah, she's cool." And then she's just part of the group now. She's hanging out with him.
They get to a manly headbutt in episode 3.
Yeah.
But we've made it 4 episodes in. It's been very good stuff.
Yeah, it's raw manliness. It's a very testosterone-driven
series. Super hot-boiled, like, if you like stuff like hard-boiled and whatnot.
Or if you like cool 90s movies like... it's your show. Say it.
I always say Rumble in the Bronx.
It's Big Trouble in China. Segway.
That's not a 90s movie.
That's not even a segue. That's not a 90s movie either. But if you like, you like those super manly, hot-blooded movies about these guys that are all about justice, which is basically the basis of, like, the old-school beat-em-up games like Double Dragon.
Well, they're like...
Final Fight, River City Ransom. It's that kind of tone.
They're not conventional justice. They're, like, neutral good, or chaotic good.
Well, they
lawful neutral.
They don't mind getting into shady business with the Yakuza groups.
They do, because they're just straight up, like, fucking fighting gangsters all the time.
Like, this episode right here, he's going into a night... there's a girl that...
She gets beat. Yeah, she's put in the hospital.
Well, there's a nightclub where women get abused because the gangsters
It's not abused, it's straight up raped.
There's also abuse. But anyways, one of the girls ends up being friends with Mai, and Mai tells Daiki about it. So he goes
his girlfriend.
Yeah, Mai tells Daiki, and Daiki's like, alright, I'm going to take care of it. So he goes into the nightclub and wrecks some people. And then the cops come in, and they're like, oh, we know you. We're going to take you home. We're not going to arrest you because we know who your dad is.
They're like interrogating him and they're like, hey, what's up? He's like, yeah, what's up? He's like, how's your dad? He's like, it's pretty good. We're like, we're going to arrest your fucking friend. He's like, what happened? He's like, guy's a dick. He's like, all right, let him go.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened in that episode. But I guess that leads him to run-ins with like Yakuza because everyone's got an older brother who's in the Yakuza.
Yeah, everyone. Everyone in their mother.
But they end up not wanting to fuck with these guys because they remember who they are. But I think this can get to a point where certain guys are like, you know,
it's already happened.
Yeah, it's already happened because you saw
like episode 3.
Yeah, Ryusuke shows up, and he's a hired bot. He's pretty much a hired fighter type dude.
No. It's more the dude's brother when he fakes.
I'll lose that. Yeah, I know what you're
because
talking
about. He starts off and he's like, I don't want to fight, and then there's a point where like there's a plot twist and something happens that clears one of the guys, and he's like, fuck it, we're still fighting.
Yeah, that does happen. Yeah, so pretty good show so far. 26 episodes.
Yeah, I like it.
What's weird about it, though, is the episode times change. Like, they're not the standard 23-minute episodes.
Yeah, they definitely aren't. The first episode's, like, I think
15 minutes. But, like, the second episode's, like, 10, and they have another episode's, like 17.
17.
So just whatever the hell they want to do.
It looks like they're just completing the story arc and then going on to the next story.
Well, if you scroll down, there's, like, a bunch of two-part episodes as well.
That's true.
But it's pretty good. Like, the only problem I have right now, I really hate 3D animation and anime, and usually because it's cheap looking. In this case, the only flaw in this double hard thing is that it looks like a high definition PS2 cutscene.
Well, yeah, like I mentioned earlier, there's a show called Xavier
Renegade Angel.
It looks like a upgraded version of that, or like that Hong Kong company
Next Media that does animation.
The jokes. Yeah. It's straight up, and it's there's a lot of Chinese names in here, so I wouldn't be surprised if one of those companies actually made it. There's a ton of, like, JoJo's voice actors in it, too. Because, like, apparently, like, all the gruff guys work on JoJo's.
Might as well.
For real. Forelli, though. That's about to change, though, in part five.
Anyone who's been watching part four, even, you can tell it's, just with the opening, it's already getting more fabulous.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, I mean, didn't they think, like, Savage Garden is the ending?
That was
or
the ending, yes. And their sales skyrocketed the next day.
Oh, like when Cult of Personality had a song for CM Punk, or Living Color did Cult of Personality for CM Punk.
Yeah.
Their fucking song skyrocketed on iTunes.
And Savage Garden liked it so much, they put out, like, their singles collection this year, and Josuke is on the cover of it.
Awesome.
That's for the so Japanese cool. one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
That is awesome.
They want to sell it. They're like, oh, Japanese people are like, oh, I think that's a Savage Garden.
I think one of those guys was like a anime fan or nerd or something too, though, in that band.
Probably.
I haven't read an interview with them since the 90s.
And I would dare say, like, I never looked it up, but I would dare say that, like, Roundabout and Walk Like an Egyptian, their sales probably skyrocketed.
We already know that Walk Like Egyptian is dead.
Yeah. About all these
because more. Remember, if you go to their video, I believe to this day, the top-rated comment on their official video is JoJo's Brought Me Here. Yep. And then, like, the next 20 are like, wow, we didn't know this song existed. Because they were apparently, like, children.
Yeah, and now we can speculate for years what Part 5 is going to be.
I was totally wrong. I thought it was going to be something like Smells Like Teen Spirit or something grungy.
Yeah, to me, we were totally wrong, but it's like, I'm not disappointed. This is fun.
Yeah, no.
This works.
Well, second it came on, and it took me a sec because I haven't heard the song in so long. And then it gets to the Chicha-Cherry Cola, and I was like, no way.
Yeah,
really?
I haven't heard that song in years.
Yeah, shoot. I was a kid when that song was
in. That's a smart move. Like, if I were, like, a musical act, first off, I wouldn't let them, like, change the names of the Crunchyroll stuff. But yes, I want these goddamn millennials to know who I am.
They still say them.
Yeah, you can hear it. Like, you can tell they're saying...
Yeah, because Japan don't give a fuck, pretty much.
Like, instead of chili pepper, it's red hot chili pepper. Yeah,
there's a couple times where they just call them chili pepper.
Yeah.
But,
or, like, in part three, it's like, the subtitle says Dan of Steel, but it's Steely Dan. If I were Steely Dan, I'm like, yes, you can use our name. We're going on tour next year.
Actually, they're on tour right now.
That's what I'm saying. They're plan ahead. So, like, all the young kids know, oh, Steely Dan, that's that band from JoJo.
I love that Okuyasu got lucky because his is a play on words to begin with.
Yeah.
Or even, Josuke's stand, you know, is Shining Diamond.
They call it Shining?
Yeah. Or here's my thing, like, with Prince being so bad about, like, his copyrights, the whole next part, Vento Oreo Gold Experience and the Stan Gold Experience.
Yeah.
That's going to be...
he's dead, for one thing, and I'm pretty sure...
It's up to his family, yeah.
I'm pretty sure they would like the money.
So we'll probably get Gold Experience.
You and I both know that he probably has enough material for his family to make some money for a while.
Well, allegedly he has that vault and everything in that Kevin Smith documentary that he made just for himself.
But this one... You know, have you seen the... because it's obvious that Hiroki likes to make... the characters like kind of look like people in music.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the comparison with Josuke with the chick from Blade Runner? And the outfits are so close that it's ridiculous. And it was like, with part eight, it took me forever. I was like, oh, he's Madonna. Don't hit the table.
Oh, that'd be bad.
Yeah, it gets picked up on the microphone.
I usually yell at John for that, but you're my guest here, so I won't. But no, yes, please don't hit the table.
I had to go through this shit. You got to go through.
Well, JoJo has been great. They just debuted Rohan Kishibe.
Like I said, he's going to be so much more popular now.
Oh my
even
god!
More so
all of the people are going to be fucking trans Rohan.
Well, again,
it's going to be a thing.
The first time we did that JoJo's posing thing, there was one of those.
There's always a Rohan.
Yeah.
He's that popular.
But if you
like half the people I've talked to don't even know anything about him. They just like the way he looks.
If you watched the episode, the new one, episode 14, I guess, you can see that back when the manga came out in the 90s, he invented Facebook. Literally.
Oh my god. Straight up.
Because he has the ability to turn his victims into books.
Yeah, with Made in Heaven. Like, or not Made in Heaven.
No.
Something Heaven.
Is it Made in Heaven?
Yeah, it's Made... Wow, I'm getting all my sands confused.
Oh my god.
Or is it that or Door to Heaven? Heaven's Door or someone's
Yeah, Heaven's Door. Thank you. Thank you, Ken.
Is it Heaven's Door?
Yeah.
But the idea of the power, for those who don't know, JoJo's has all these characters with different powers. I'm not going to explain the whole stand thing. You can watch the show to figure that out.
It's psychic puppets, pretty much.
But the idea is they're familiars. The idea is he uses the familiars called stands. They all have different powers. And Rohan's power is, because he's a manga artist, he has the ability to turn his characters... or his victims into books, like manga books. They can read their stories and find out everything that there is to find out about them. You can even write into their faces or their skin or whatever.
You can write on anything.
You can write on anything to change their story. So, for example, one of the characters he's working on has a very powerful stand called Reverb. But he writes into the character's story that he cannot attack Rohan at all. That way, when he tries to attack Rohan with his stand Reverb, it misses. So... pretty crazy stuff, but like one of the cool things about JoJo's is our adventure. It's not like the other shonen type shows where they're like, oh, I'm stronger than you, I have a higher power level, so I'm going to win automatically. Like, the battles come down to like cutting and intelligence and strategy, not who's the bigger brawn.
Well, there's one, but.
Yeah, occasionally, sure, but like most of the time.
Well, at least that one, he was straight up against. His literal equal.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's more than just punching each other.
Yeah. Well,
there's much more to it than what you would see like something like Naruto or Dragon Ball Z.
Actually, Naruto still does that. They took it from JoJo's.
They didn't do it as good. Am I wrong?
I'm not going to disagree with you there.
And I mean, shoot, they ended the same way. They literally ended the same way.
JoJo's didn't end.
JoJo is actually, yeah.
Well, technically,
chapter 52 or 54 came out recently for part 8, which is really good. I'm really enjoying part 8.
Plus, I don't think Naruto got rewritten.
I gotta catch back up. So.
Plus, I don't think Naruto ever got rewritten into an alternate dimension.
No, but now we're working on their children, which to me, and once again, like I like Naruto more than you guys, obviously.
Uh-huh. I still.
Yeah, three of those shows in the queue.
I got to the end of Naruto.
I'm surprised they didn't have Inuyasha in there.
Yeah, I don't regret it. It's not on the same level as freaking Inuyasha.
Yeah, and but the thing is, the new stuff, the Boruto stuff, I'm actually liking it more than the ending of Naruto. It's kind of like bringing it back.
I didn't even know that they continued that. I thought it was a special just for...
They made the movie, and the first few chapters of the Boruto is going to be taking over for the movie, like recapping that, and then they're going after that.
Okay, so it'll be like Dragon Ball Super.
Sure. I mean, but this is more about his kids, like, exclusively, you know.
Oh, his son with one of the most broken abilities of ever.
Like, it takes place just after.
Well, then, like, isn't that, like, a retelling?
It's been, like...
Super's not a retelling.
It's not a retelling of the movie?
No.
Oh, no, okay, no, yes, the first two arcs were a retelling of the two movies, yes, you're correct. But right now, we're in Future Trunks territory.
With Black Goku.
Black Goku, which we will...
not black.
We will find out who he really is in a month, I think.
Yeah, Goku, it's gonna be Mr. T.
Mr. Popo.
It's gonna be Mr. T.
It's gotta be... have something to do with the, Kais and the gods and everything.
I pity the fool who ain't grabbing.
But it's funny, because, I know you don't watch it, and you probably don't either.
I don't care at all.
You don't care? Because they were explaining it, because, like, Trunks is like, yeah, there's this great evil and stuff. He's like, well, did Majin Buu happen yet? And he's like, oh, yeah, that happened. And he was pretty tough. I had to get help from God for that one. And they showed Trunks fighting Deborah and Babidi in his timeline. So
Trunks easily beat all those guys?
He didn't easily beat. He's like, that was a tough one. I needed help from God, but we took care of it. Yeah.
God? Like, well, Kami?
Supreme Kai.
Oh.
Sure.
So, like, God is like Kami. Got an outpost.
Well, yes, literally, Kami. But you know it was higher than that. Now they have the King of Everything, I think they call it.
King of Everything.
Man, yeah. Toriyama just makes up bullshit as it goes along.
He does. I'm not going to disagree with
him. He's a hack writer.
He grabs his name by, like, whatever he's eating or whatever's on the floor when he wakes up in the morning.
Well, no, because, you know, there's, like, 13 universes, and there's a God of Everything.
His version of character development is changing their hair.
Pretty much, yes. Well, they call it Super Saiyan Blue now because there was even a part in the supplementary manga. He's like, saying Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan, that's kind of long. Let's just call it Super Saiyan Blue.
That sounds like something Christopher Daniels would do.
That is something Christopher Daniels. Oh my God. He is Christopher Daniels. It's been in front of us this whole time.
But look, I'm enjoying Super well enough because they don't take themselves too seriously either.
I'm just going to keep watching Dragon Ball PP over and over again.
You kids and your YouTubes and your movie grapes.
What are you, some kind of faggy? Yeah!
Alright, so there's an actual reason we're all here today.
Yes.
Would you like to explain that, Jake?
Yes, it's apparently because I get emails about shirts of the days on various sites and, you know, buy them and stuff. They're like, oh, it's the 30th anniversary of Big Trouble in Little China.
Today is the 30th anniversary.
Literally today,
and not
yes.
Yesterday, like Ken
July 2nd. Yes, July 2nd, 2016 is the 30th anniversary of the opening of Big Trouble in Little China. Which, and I just put a little blurb on Facebook because I remember this story of getting Kent to go to Spooky Empire one year. We called him up and we were like, hey, John Carpenter's here this year. He like perked up. He's like, you mean Big Trouble in Little China is John Carpenter? And he was like, yeah, come on. And then we didn't meet him.
He was sick.
That's the thing with Spooky Empire, though.
Last time we went,
all we saw was the warriors and a pedophile.
Every time we went to John Carpenter's table throughout the day, he was never there, and it turned out he was sick.
Yeah, but
you know who's always there is freaking Lloyd Kaufman.
Usually,
yeah, nothing else to do.
He was freaking standing behind us in one of the lines for something for like 15, 20 minutes till he gave up and probably just punched somebody in the ear.
But that was back, I think, in 2010, and we still had a good time. Like you said, we met Danny Trejo.
Machete, right after Machete came out, no less.
Yeah, the Nasty Boys.
First wrestlers we ever met.
The Busey Crime Syndicate.
Yeah, both Gary and Jake, and I had to tell Jake a story that I heard about him from a prior Spooky Empire that caused his face to go from beet red to pale white. Because the Buseys are like beet red in complexion. High melanin content in their skin, and I turned Jake Busey white, ghost white, while he was eating his Popeyes. I was just trying to warn him, and he gave me an awkward fist knuckle. So thank you, I appreciate it.
Man, he slumped back down.
Well, yeah. It wasn't the peckers on their head joke.
That was Gary Busey.
That's what happens when you don't try to hit on women at conventions. B-less celebrities, because they'll say shit.
No, yeah, well,
especially or D-list celebrities like
Jake Busey,
the voice of Vash's Stampede.
You know, I've been Johnny to. They have a family member. Have you ever heard of Mike Busey?
Yeah, he lives in Orlando, the Sausage Castle guy.
I've been there.
You've been to the Sausage Castle?
Yes.
I kind of want to hear about actually.
Is that like a gay strip club?
Because they're shutting that down, apparently.
They are, really?
They're trying to. The city's trying to shut it down, yeah.
It's just a house with parties.
Yeah. And they fire off guns and stuff and everything, and everyone's all
pissed
off.
Well, they didn't fire off guns when I was there.
Yeah, because our local radio guy, Mike Calta, he like just discovered this guy, and he got him on like a couple months ago, and they were talking about it and stuff like that.
Well, have you not gone to this?
Yeah, would you want to go?
Yes.
Can't tell your. You want just, to tell your story?
Well, it lived up to its name. It was they called it the Sausage Castle. There's a bunch of dudes there. There's a house party happening. I was invited through a mutual friend of myself and Mike Busey. I forget his name, but he went to India.
Was it Gary Busey?
No, but my Indian friend invited me to come along with him. I'm like, all right, sure, whatever. I didn't know anything about the Sausage Castle. And I only knew the guy's name is Mike. I found out later it would be Mike Busey, who's a relative of Gary and Jake Busey. Mm-hmm. But it was just a house party. Like people were jumping from the rooftop into the pool, and there's booze and shit. And I think people were smoking pot, probably. I don't know.
Yeah, hearing him on the radio and stuff, like Mike Busey seems just like a pretty cool guy, actually. Just kind of like a judgment-free, like, yeah, whatever.
But when you come in, you have to sign a waiver saying that you're okay with being recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what you do.
Right.
So if you want to have sex in one of the bedrooms, you will be recorded probably having sex in one of the bedrooms or some shit like that. That's how Mike explained it to me.
Yeah, let's go.
And then like then he said if you wanted to get information about invites to other parties, I could sign up for his mailing list. So after having a chuckle about that, I did, but I never got an email once.
Yeah, it's because you're lame.
Because I think the name Ken implies that I'm male. I think he was waiting for ladies to fill out that email list.
Okay, we'll just...
But doesn't he have a Busey's Beauties or something like that?
I don't know.
Just put like a picture of your hair.
And I know he has a website.
But once in a while, I'll hear about the Sausage Castle and all the stuff that goes on there. I'll have a good laugh about it because I've been there.
Yeah, last I heard, like I think the city was trying to shut it down.
If they're shooting off guns, I guess that makes sense.
Those lame narcs.
But I mean, they're like out in the woods, though, right?
They're in some random neighborhood in Castleberry, which might as well be in the woods.
Well, now we know where it is.
Well, there's a website you can go to.
We can just sneak up.
I wish I like
it over the fence, hop right in.
The thing is, I didn't really know its significance when I went, and I kind of wish I kept to that. I wish I paid attention to where I was driving and the address.
You're old man.
I wasn't old back then. This was like over 10 years ago.
Oh yeah.
So I was old young.
No, you were old and gross and in your 20s 10 years ago.
Yeah. Because according to that 16-year-old chick that was trying to get with Sean at MetroCon.
Well, the one that kept pointing you out as a pedophile in the dance.
I don't know why she did that because I had no interest in young kids.
The MetroCon, all those years ago, 2007.
The irony that she
happens a bunch.
The irony that she was pointing someone, she was at MetroCon pointing at people as pedophiles.
But she was right about you, though.
No, I wasn't. She meant to point at Roy Harms.
She thought you were. That's what I was talking about.
Really. We've seen him as Spooky Empire.
That's what I was talking about.
Well, he's at Holiday Missouri too. He's trying to promote his Omni Expo and getting people to buy tables and shit.
They're letting him do stuff around children now?
He was talking to that kid in the booth. Well, girl.
From what I understand about Omni Expo, his name's not on the books for running it. He's got a puppet convention runner, I guess.
Well, that's kind of why I always call ShadowCon the one from the ShadowsCon.
Well, I don't think he's involved with ShadowCon.
But the whole MyCons.
I think they all split up.
Probably.
Oh, good. That would be good.
I don't see any of them interact at the other cons. So I went to ShadowCon and Holiday Matsuri last year. I don't think any of those cons have any relationship with each other anymore.
I don't think you were there. I think this was one of the first years we went to AWA. Roy Harms cosplayer. Do you remember that
guy? Oh, my God. I have a picture of him.
Yeah, he had, like, the Lord Metro jacket.
Yeah.
With the gear on the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he had the shield, but on the inside of the shield was a picture of that girl.
Oh!
I made that part up, but that would be hilarious.
That was probably 05 or I mean 06 or 07.
Remember when I pretended like I wanted to get Roy Harms' picture? Were you there when that happened?
I don't remember.
I thought it was you, me, and Keo, and I walked up to him. I was like, "Oh shit, let me get your picture!" And like he gets all posed, and I was like, "Oh no, I'm sorry, I thought you were somewhere else," and just like went back to it.
Wow, what a dick.
It was the same year that he won the chess match with the
strategy guy.
Oh, the chess match that had Terry Bogard in it.
For control of MetroCon.
Someone slapped the...
He got jobbed out to Javante's.
Somebody's wig off. Somebody slapped the Sailor Moon's
Sailor
wig
Moon's,
off.
Yeah.
And she just rolled with it.
That was probably Cervantes, because they had Cervantes in there.
They did.
And I was offended that a Soul Calibur character... bested Terry Bogard in a match.
Well, he would.
Yeah. Well, he got
Cervantes.
Well, no. Terry Bogard got a donkey punch charge in that one.
Not only would Cervantes beat the crap out of Terry Bogard,
but he'd
write a sexy book about it.
No, he wouldn't, because all Terry has to do is bust a wolf and it's over.
I'm sorry. It's
power gazer.
5 minutes
rising tackle.
5 minutes
crack shoot.
2 seconds even Bone near knuckle. The guy, and he's got fucking scurvy. How are we? How much Terry drinks, he just needs
to die. For one thing, all Terry Bogard has to do is roll past the dude, because in Soul Calibur, all you gotta do is wait for your opponent to strike, and you fucking circle around them so they can miss, and then you whoop their ass. Actually, so all Terry has to do...
track. All he Terry, can't even sidestep, dog.
Terry
can't all, even sidestep.
So you say that, but all Terry has to do is do the King of Fighters roll. And he'll just roll past Cervantes and whoop his ass.
You have never played that game.
I played King of Fighters and Soul Calibur.
Yeah. So what happens when you do a dash in Soul Calibur?
You don't dash in Soul Calibur. You do a... Terry Bogard does his roll. When you press weak punch and weak kick in King of Fighters, Sean, I know you don't know how to do that because you suck at 2D fighting games.
Okay.
But like when you do that in King of Fighters, you can do a forward roll.
Yeah.
Like, or backward roll because you can use that to evade attacks.
Oh, use both dimensions.
Yeah, back
instead
and forth.
Of
oh, you know, what's also great? You know what's also great? Because Terry Bogard's also from Fatal Fury. They implemented the system with two planes where you can hop back and forth between the planes to avoid attacks.
That would just hop right out of the ring and just ring himself out.
They didn't have ring outs in that.
There's no ring outs in Fatal Fury.
Yeah, but we're talking about...
Well, actually, in later ones, they would have ring outs, but they would still have the vertical, the planes side by side.
All right, the problem is that Terry Bogard wouldn't win that fight.
He would. He could either sidestep him, or he could roll past him and hit him with Buster Wolf, Power Gazer, Power Dunk.
He dies from scurvy, alcohol poisoning, tetanus, because that's obviously a man... who's too dumb to get insurance. Drive-by, probably taken out before he even gets there from his own town.
Geese.
Satellite drops on top of him.
Oh, from King of Fighters 2001.
Stabbed by a stolen child.
Rock Howard?
Or he just dies from loneliness of never being able to pick up that blonde chick.
Blue Mary.
Well, there's also Bonne Jeanette. Yeah. He had two options.
She's like, Terry is my first love. But not an adequate enough person to be in a relationship with. Hands down, this is no argument. Like, who beats Terry Bogard every time? Alcoholics Anonymous.
No?
Yeah, he's just done. By the end, he's passing out pamphlets for Jesus.
But he still beats Cervantes.
If I remember correctly, Maximum Impact was not canonical.
But he still beats Cervantes.
What you got? Holy shit!
Oh, speaking of which, isn't Maximum Impact one of those, like, sidestep 3D games?
Yes.
You mash buttons to do all kinds of attacks?
It is kind of.
See, look at that. Terry Bogard beats Cervantes.
It's a 2D where you can Buster move Wolf. That way.
It's like, bring Cervantes into the next Maximum
Didn't
Impact.
Didn't he not have Buster Wolf in the first Maximum Impact?
I couldn't tell you.
I think he doesn't.
Doesn't matter. He would beat him.
Yeah, but he also the, got...
What beat. I'm trying to say
he got
is...
He beat by aliens in that game.
What I'm trying to say is
aliens
that,
and ghosts.
Talking about from Metal Slug?
And not even like...
Hey, Fiyu has a Terry Bogard costume.
The only reason Terry Bogard got played in that game is because Joe Higashi's not playable in any of them.
That was a shame.
So...
He's in the background in one. Just
what we're trying to say is that year's MetroCon chess match, like all the other MetroCon chess matches, are poorly researched, and no one there knows who the fucking characters are or what they do.
Yeah.
Case in point,
everything
you missed,
except for the Terry Bogard.
Did you miss... You missed the you missed the last chess match I went to, which
of
was many years
I
ago.
Did.
Well, they had one where they had Jotaro Kujo and Star Platinum.
Okay.
And how it ended, they fought Rock Lee, and they did tag team wrestling moves on Rock Lee.
Okay.
And then Star Platinum held Rock Lee in a full Nelson position so that Jotaro Kujo, with a knife, could shank Rock Lee and kill him.
Well.
And also... Jotaro Kujo in that chess match was played by a very short 5-foot-nothing girl.
Did he time stop any time in that?
No.
Yeah, they have no idea what they're talking about. Be like, this is a pretty good resource.
So yeah, if you're going to MetroCon, don't go to the chess match, because if you're a fan of anything, if you have a soul, don't go to the chess match, because you'll be very offended if you do.
Yeah, just go to like Armada runs the tabletop. Just go there.
There's honestly nothing to do at MetroCon, so if you have a choice, don't even go.
We could go downtown, get plastered, and hang out with a bunch of trans hookers.
We don't have to go to MetroCon, do they? You can just go to Ybor.
Yeah.
Nah.
Park there, get a nice Cuban sandwich.
What weekend is MetroCon?
You ride the rails. It's
like 2 weeks. Like
oh, that's Shine weekend if it's 2 weeks.
July 20 something.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what we should do?
Go to Shine instead of MetroCon?
Yeah, exactly. Talent right there.
There you go, Leva.
You hear that, Leva?
She's at SuperCon this weekend. She'll probably go to MagicCon. They're letting her do panel moderations, I guess, because they're bum ankle, probably.
Oh, is it because she can just suplex anyone who's out of line?
Well, she can't suplex anyone because her foot's broken.
She could probably suplex a nerd.
She did a Stone Cold Stunner while her ankle was broken that night.
Well, oh, man, that was a match where we got to see a Stone Cold Stunner.
You weren't there.
And the Mandible Claw in the same... Oh, no, that was definitely a different time.
Yes, because you're probably thinking of Thunder Kitty.
What is it? Is it the Mandible Claw?
The Iron Claw.
Iron Claw? Yeah.
I think we got real far off of what we were actually going to be talking about.
We always do on this one, and that's fine.
Yeah,
we were talking about Big Trouble Little China.
Yeah. All right, you guys want to hear a secret that you might already know?
Go.
That's the first time I've ever seen that movie.
For real?
For real.
Serious?
You owned it, though.
Yeah. You know how many things I own that I've never watched?
Oh, I feel so bad talking during the movie, because I figured we were all in on it.
No, it's okay. I mean, I know what it's about.
I mean, I still 30 years old, but I wouldn't.
I know you still want to talk.
I would have talked a lot less. We all saw the movie. So
this is his time now. What did you think of Big Trouble in China?
Instant fucking classic.
Okay, good. I thought I was gonna have to hurt him.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, I love that. I still remember when was the first time you saw that movie?
Holy shit, I don't remember, but it was at least 10 years ago. Plus,
10 years ago, plus, I saw it with my dad when I was a kid.
Well. My dad, I don't know when the movie came out in 1986, so.
Yes, before myself and Sean were born.
Yeah, well, my dad always. Same here, man. My dad and I would always have, like, time to sit down and watch movies.
Well, that was
never. They'd always be like, oh, hey, here's Aliens. Have you seen this movie? No. I'd be like, here's War of the Worlds.
My parents were into Star Wars and Rocky movies, and that's what we watched a lot of together.
My dad likes Star Wars. Nobody is as into Star Wars as I am in the family.
Yeah.
But my mom's like. Really into like sci-fi and fantasy, and my dad's into like detective stuff and science fiction.
I think the first time I saw the movie was actually with Larry Furman and watched it on DVD. But
oh shit, it was on a busted ass VHS the first time I read it. I think we recorded it from TV or something.
In Orlando, they have a theater called the Enzion Theater, and they show a lot of cult classic movies. Mm-hmm. And they actually have an ability to do an outdoor showings as well, where they set up a screen outdoors. Mm-hmm. And you just bring your own towel or chair to sit down and watch movies. So they actually had an outdoor screening of Big Trouble in Little China on a massive screen.
That's kick-ass.
It was freaking amazing. So that, to me, is the way I'm going to remember Big Trouble in Little China, seeing it that way.
I wonder if the theater in Tampa has ever done Big Trouble in Little China.
Maybe. I know this weekend they're doing Pretty in Pink because it's also the 30th anniversary of that.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I saw some people post about that today.
I don't know. I've seen a bunch of really cool movies there. I saw Evil Dead 2 there.
I know recently they played the Karate Kid and Ralph Macchio was there for a Q&A.
Did they?
Holy shit.
A couple months ago.
Yeah, that top. About that. Did that top the time we saw
YK Kim?
Yeah, YK Kim at Miami Ninjas or
Miami Connection?
Miami Connection.
The poster's right there.
Yeah, I'm trying to read it. It's too neon.
I'm so jealous that I didn't go to that.
It was amazing.
Miami Connection. Oh, yeah, and it was sold out, too. Like, we made sure to get there on time.
Every time.
Good seats.
Every time that somebody brings that movie up, I'm like, I had a chance to go and I didn't go.
Well, I love it because it's like you know the locations where they're fighting because it's filmed in Orlando.
Yeah, especially they use that. That walkway that's in front of the student center.
Yeah, UCF. Like, they use UCF for their fights. That walkway's still there. Like, the areas that they're fighting on, they're still there.
Anytime I see a movie involving a fight that's filmed in Orlando, that gets used. Like, I've seen that place a million times. And then you go down there. I keep, like, wondering if I can look over the side and see, like, a leftover prop or a bunch of used-up blood squibs or something.
The fight on Church Street, like, I mean, Church Street's changed a lot.
Yeah.
But UCF has not changed. Like, when they do the scenes in the classrooms, like, those classrooms don't look any different from how they look now.
You'd be like, hey, I got laid in that classroom. Oh, wait.
Not me. But, so I didn't go to UCF. I just went there for the anime club. But, there's another movie, Never Back Down. And there's a nightclub off of East Colonial. It used to be, well, it's not there anymore. They've changed names or whatever, but they have their final showdown, I believe, at Roxy, which is off Colonial and Bennett.
The back booth.
No. But
it's the back booth.
Though a lot of that movie was actually, I think, shot in Sanford, but they had some scenes that were shot in Orlando. But
Stanford.
It's always cool to.
You should probably not use shot in Stanford.
It's always cool to watch those and see where everything is. That's what I also love about watching NXT or Breaking Ground, because it all takes place in Orlando. So, you know, I know all the fucking locales of when they're shooting off outside of the arena where they do the wrestling matches at. it's cool to see like all the different parts of the town. That's like, yeah, I know what that is.
Or like, I remember when Adam Rose debuted, and you're like, and they were doing the thing at Bakuri.
But yeah, Bakuri yeah. Sushi, home of Anime Night Orlando, every third Thursday of the month.
No, cut the plug out.
But they rented out the nightclub, and they shot there, and like we were actually watching the vignette in the arena mm-hmm. at Full Sail, like they're showing it, and like Kalista's in there with a double Jedi glow stick thing. I have no idea what the hell's going on. I'm like, we're all losing our shits. Like, oh my god, it's Bakuri Lounge, Anime Night Orlando. Just so people could hear what the hell was going on. But that was cool.
That was cool. It's like when I watched the 2003 Punisher, you know, that was filmed over in Tampa.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see, like, at the end, he's, like, just standing on the Skyway Bridge. Yeah, his
one of those buildings is torn down now. Oh, yeah. So.
I know you guys have such huge mafia problems in Tampa.
You would be surprised, yeah. actually.
Well, what if you're all right?
If it was realistic, instead of fighting John
Travolta. You better say that.
Instead of fighting honky-ass John Travolta, should he have been, like, fighting the Cubans in Ybor?
I don't know. Well,
it's more of a chicken problem in Ybor, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, the Cubans are cool in Ybor. Like, that restaurant they own's pretty fucking
right.
awesome.
I dated a
That's, like, who owns Ybor City is the Cuban mafia,
that
right?
The last girl that I dated, her mom was the, I'm sorry, her, stepmom, air quotes, is, like, one of the managers at a restaurant, but I never got to go back.
There's actually a place in Ybor City that is considered Cuban soil.
Really?
Yeah, it's like just a little park, like a little.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Dude, really? I haven't heard that in some years. Somebody mentioned that to me when I was in high school. But, right. Yeah, Cuba sucks.
All right, so what were your favorite parts of Big Trouble Little China, Jacob?
I mean, just overall, the feel of the just, like, I think Sean said it best when we were watching this, like, they don't make movies like that, just fun movies like
they
that
don't.
Anymore.
Like that, or like The House 2,
I mean,
or The Goonies.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to say, like, something close to that would be, like, Kung Fury, but that's just too over the top, I think. Even though I love Kung Fury, don't get me wrong. But, like, you know, just
it's
fun shit like that.
It's got its own, like, 80s magic.
Well, 80, I feel like Kung Fury is both a homage and caricature of the 80s movies, but, like, it's way cranked up, like you said.
Right. But, and, like, the main character, Jack Burton.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, like, how he's, you know, he's cool, but he doesn't always do the cool things, you know, like, he'll throw his knife away by accident or something.
He screws up, or, like, he shoots at the ceiling and rocks drop on his head.
Yeah.
Or he'll there's parts where he tries too hard to be cool, and he comes off looking like a douchebag or a dork. There's a lot of that. Like, he's just a big loudmouth, but, like, he means well, so people like him.
He's one of those heroes that, like, he's a screw-up. But when he needs to get it right, he does. Especially with, like, the knife catch.
That was dope.
Yes.
Like,
it's all in the reflexes.
And then he even has that, like, just for a second, even he looks surprised that it happened.
Yeah, like, if you look at movies now compared to back then, like, back then they showed a more full range of personality. Mm-hmm. And I think movie characters now, especially action stars.
You still get that with some movies. Right. But the 80s has got, like, its own thing. And I think it was, like, We're different kind of writers now.
Well, I feel like the movies now, they're trying way too hard to be cool. They're not afraid to look goofy or anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, I think I always like to use what is the name of that movie? Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm.
That would be a nice because I love that movie.
And it's like the first time that I was watching it, I was like, I can see the trauma influence in this movie.
Because
this movie's fun. It's almost like it's an 80s movie. Like, it's not afraid to be goofy.
It's fun, but it's not too over the top
exactly.
either.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what I liked about it, it was a simple, fun science fiction adventure movie.
Yeah, it was
ragtag. It had the ragtag group. And the guy...
It's like we got a bonus Star Wars.
The main character, that's how I felt. Like, everything I liked about the old Star Wars movies, Guardians of the Galaxy had.
Yeah.
But, like, that main character, I forget the character's name. Star-Lord? Yeah. I mean, he's not
Peter Quill.
If you think about him, he's not. I mean, Jack Burton has a bigger personality by far, but Star-Lord is not too different in terms of that kind of character who screws up.
He's absolutely
gets the right way.
He's still a better, all around tougher person because he's obviously a trained soldier.
But the comparison's there
but
for sure.
I get it, and there's a lot of that in there. But like you said, movies like. I love The House 2, and I plug it every chance I get. It's a movie that is just like, it's a, and then like, cross genres done right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ghostbusters is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. Ghostbusters is like a smart comedy that's shot like a horror movie. Like, if you look at the way the movie is shot, it uses a lot of the same, like, camera angles. Love. And there's some genuinely, like, creepy and scary moments in the film. 80s does that, like...
So you're talking about the 80s movie, not the new one coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to clarify for the listeners.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't...
I don't know. I'm willing to give the new one a chance more so than most people. But, yeah. But I can also understand the opinion. I think James Rolfe said it best. He's like, well, if I don't want to see it, why would I see it? I'm like, then don't see it. Exactly. Good. That's it's fair.
Yeah, I don't really care either way. I don't.
It's something that nobody asked.
I feel like it's just they're trying to cash in on a popular nostalgia property. And at the same time, they're trying to force progressive values down people's throats. I just want to go see a fun movie.
It does, but I don't think it looks as bad as some people are painting it.
Well, the part that sucks is like the actresses are getting blamed for it.
But they're all good.
Genuinely, not their fault.
No, it's the Hollywood board of directors that decided what the movie was going to be.
Yeah,
it's definitely.
But I think, and again, I think with that James Rolfe video and everything, and whatever, if like Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd are going to be in it cameoing, it's like, why aren't they playing, you know,
Bill Murray's in it, but he's a skeptic, and he gets killed by that.
Yeah, but he's not playing, you know, Peter Venkman.
The pterodactyl thing.
Because even when they do Star Trek.
The pterodactyl thing kills him by knocking out a window later on in the movie.
When they do that Star Trek reboot, they have Leonard Nimoy in there as, like, old Spock.
And that was awesome.
But that makes sense.
But then he passes it on to
Skylar.
I would be way okay with that.
Yeah, I would have loved to see that.
Skylar, like, what's his name, Zachary Quintos?
Yeah, Siler from Heroes. Yeah, Zachary Quinto.
I don't remember who brought this up, but they were like, someone mentioned that if they were going for, like, progressivism or whatever, then the progressive thing to do would be have, like, a mixed group of people instead of just, like, three white women and a black woman. That's one of the most horrible stereotypes I've ever seen in my life.
Do they have a token black character?
Yeah, well, it's the Winston character.
She's
straight
up, like, she's, like, the
token black lady.
She's straight up, like, the annoying-ass roommate from the woman next door from Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, so they're going to make her, like, a black woman stereotype.
Absolutely.
That doesn't sound very progressive at all.
No, it doesn't.
Well, no. let's get back to Big Trouble in China.
I'll say, after seeing that at the end, I am surprised, but probably grateful that there was not a sequel to that, because, like, it left room with the thing at the end, you know, the creature.
No. Okay, so let me talk about that real quick. That's not sequel begging.
Well, I know it's not sequel begging, but, I mean, they could if they wanted to.
Yeah, they did. That doesn't get done anymore either. Yeah.
So you can always have Jack Burton show up into another town with his truck.
That's true.
And have misadventures there.
Well, he did. He entered the Street Fighter Alpha 2 tournament.
No, he entered the King of Fighters tournament because he became Terry Bogard.
No, what are you talking about?
In the Metricon chess
match. Straight up.
Or should have.
He lives in a fantasy world.
Anyway, case in point, though, with John Carpenter, Escape from L.A.
Yeah.
You know, which was not as good as Escape from New York.
Escape from L.A.
That was a weird-ass movie.
It was a weird-ass movie. Bruce Campbell was in it.
It is a comedy masterpiece and a complete logic black hole. Turn the power off.
As a kid watching, I could not understand. Like, so the Cubans are going to invade America. How are they going to beat us, though? They're in a little island.
Do you know what that reminds me of? Did you read Gate or watch the anime Gate? There's a part in Gate where the American Special Forces, like our best dudes, come to kidnap somebody, and then Japan's Defense Force, like, spots them immediately. They don't even have a chance to hide, and they're just picking them off left and right. And there's a scene where, like, the American guys are like, oh my god, this Japan Defense Force is just destroying our guys. We didn't even stand a chance. And I was reading that, like, no, that's not right. That seems a little backwards. I imagine it would go something a little bit like that.
Well, that's like the Red Dawn remake and the Homefront games. I'm like, is there really any way North Korea could take us over? No. You know, they use like...
Well, they have nukes.
They use like 1970s Apple Macintosh computers.
What would
Cuba do? And even then, at the end of the day, like, Snake Plissken turns off the power of the world.
Yeah, just sets the world back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a dick.
Yeah, but he does
such
that.
A dick.
He does that and then smokes a cigarette. But like, all right, so they turn the power off. So how does that stop any fighting from actually happening? Like,
it doesn't. It just makes it more. It just makes it worse.
That would be
now
fighting
we have to
in
fight
the dark.
For even more resources. But
they would have hand to hand combat at least. But like,
oh hell yeah, they right. did do the.
So the
thing.
Cubans come in on their boats to Florida, or whatever.
The Cubans come in on their boats made from our old cars.
Sure, but like, how are they gonna take over America? I could not get. Even now, I cannot fucking wrap my mind around that idea.
Do you know what they call Cuban bread in Cuba?
Pan?
A boat.
But well, how about this? This seems to be kind of popular too. Do you think a sequel to Big Trouble in Little China with John Carpenter and Kurt Russell would work today?
No,
no,
no. Okay,
because Hollywood, modern Hollywood, would like,
and it also wouldn't sell.
They would put too much of their
bullshit,
bull crap influence on it, like what you have with Ghostbusters, a lot of movies. All right, maybe, like we got lucky with Mad Max Fury Road.
Maybe if it was crowdfunded.
Yeah, and just, well, John Carpenter, Ed Warren.
I don't think they need crowdfunding. Like, I think like people would like, oh, that's a popular thing right from 30 years ago. We'll make that again.
Well, hold on. Crowdfunding is pretty much the only way that
these one of those days, people
is going to get what they want. Like he was
saying, if you want it done right, we really
got lucky with Mad Max because Mad Max, they said no to almost everything, and then when they showed the first draft of it, the studio gave them enough money to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's why so much of the movie was reshot and redone.
Sure. But getting back to Big Trouble in China, I love that movie.
Me too.
Jack Burton is an amazing character with a lot of great lines.
Yes.
And all the other characters that are supporting characters like Wang or Gracie Law.
The guy that everybody thought was going to die but didn't.
Eddie. Also, Egg Shen, played by Victor Wong.
Yeah.
Also amazing. And freaking, was it Lopan?
Dude, yeah, Lopan.
Dave, as he is called.
Dave Lopan. Plus the Mortal Kombat squad of, like, Lightning, yeah, Rain, and Thunder.
It's Raiden, Rain, and
Thunder, and
Fujin from Mortal Kombat.
Raiden from Mortal Kombat, Kung Lao, Fujin. Those guys were all awesome. So, the different aspects of the movie. Like, I like the down-to-earth humor that's going on there. Mm-hmm. They're not afraid to make fun of each other. They're not afraid to be politically incorrect, because that's the thing that happens in movies. You've got to be super sensitive about talking about races and genders now. Even though it's like not like malicious, it's like, oh, we're going to poke fun at different things about both sides and all sides. But like, that kind of humor is great. Just Jack Burton trying to talk a big game and always screwing up. Like, hey, we're all going to escape.
Oh,
and we're going to open the door and the whole squad's there right behind the door.
My favorite part is when he's pulling the knife, instead of pulling the knife out of his boot, and he just chucks it, and he's like, shit! And he has to go get it!
Well, there's also another part with that knife where he reversed the knife so it's sticking out of his boot, so when someone's trying to come at him with a sword, he, like, actually pulls the guy
in. It looks like he's doing something smart, but then the dude's so heavy that he can't get him off of him for, like, 4 minutes.
So that was great, too.
I love the gun getting smashed, too.
Yeah, he just basically disintegrates the dude.
That was awesome. When was that Thunder who did that?
Yeah, it's the wind guy.
Thunder, who was
the big guy?
Yeah,
Donny Osmond.
It's the wind guy.
The guy,
the Asian Donny Osmond.
The guy who was not Bolo from Enter the Dragon, but was trying
very hard to be Asian Donny Osmond.
Sure. Yes, he was. That goddamn dance with those weapons.
He's a little bit kung fu, a little bit rock and roll.
Yeah, I would have seen with the street fight between the warring Chinese gangs.
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
Well, they'll have machine guns.
Yeah. My favorite part is that guy that's just looking into the window and obviously sees him. He's like, "Hey," and he just keeps going about his gangster.
Yeah, and he's like, "Just be quiet."
Like, they're having this war. They have like swords. They got bow staffs. They got like,
okay. It escalates quickly because the first guy shows up and he's got like a stupid knife thing, and the next guy shows up and he's got like a pitchfork, and the next guy shows up and that guy's got a sword. And then the next guy shows up and he's got an AK-47. And you're like, well, that escalated quickly. And the next thing is just a scene of someone putting a revolver into the screen, into the shot, and firing. And then the guy with the two golden guns, who does like a kung fu pose before he pulls out the golden guns, and then shoots them like he's doing kung fu punches. Then the L, their like loser hand that was their like...
Yeah.
That's their chakra hand.
Yeah, it was like, I can't even do it. It was like weird. Like the fingers like...
You're channeling their energy for battle, Sean.
Yeah. I think my favorite part about the movie is it really looks like everybody is having fun making the movie.
And one funny part that struck out to me was when Wang or whatever, he was going after them at the end, and you know, he went through all that stuff, and like Jack just went up the elevator and got there before.
Yeah.
Everything's like...
He's running after.
Yeah.
One hand through all the flip
pull
stuff.
Open. Oh, when we got to when lampooning the movie, we got to use Wolfman's Got Narcs.
You know what that was, Jacob? Since you're a wrestling fan, that was the difference between main event style wrestling and indie wrestling. Indie guys got to do all the flips.
Good point.
Main event guy goes straight to the point.
Very good. Very good. Oh man.
Oh, I love this. the Scooby-Doo scene is to this day is always going to be my favorite part of the movie. The part where they're running back and forth between, and the one dude's just like doing backflips, and the other dude's just chasing him and can't catch him.
Yeah.
So he like gets pissed off and just smashes something, and like they go into the room, and it's obviously people just throwing shit out of the room.
Yeah, that was pretty. I like that after like Jack Burr takes out Lo Pan, there's all this other shit that goes on. Like that scene with the Scooby-Doo running around stuff with Thunder and Wang. But then, like, the lightning guy, who's, like, the third wheel of the Mortal Kombat posse.
Oh, yeah, because he's... Cause, like, but he's, like, their, Oh, my God, I forgot the guy's name.
Because, like,
he's their Jack. Yeah. He's, like, their fuck-up.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Rain and Thunder are prominently featured for almost most of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you don't really see lightning until the end. He's just there. And he doesn't do anything
useful. The part that's crazy about that is, like, I think they did that on purpose. Because out of everybody there, he has the big intro. Like, yeah. the one guy just kind of drops in.
Yeah.
And the other guy, like, he comes out from the ground. That dude, a fucking controlled, like, thing of lightning comes up and he rides it like one of those conveyor rides at a child's amusement park. And he does that all the time. He's like, yeah, I control lightning. The other dude's strong. The one guy uses weird swords. He controls lightning, but he never does anything. He's just kind of like, ah! And then it takes him the longest to do anything. Like, I swear to God, he takes almost as long as the benders from the Avatar live-action movie take to do things, to do the fucking lightning.
All right, so there's one unanswered question in this movie. There's a scene where they go into Lo Pan's place to free, like, at least 50 or 60 different women because they kidnap women in this movie. And sell them off or whatever, maybe put them in brothels. I have no idea. They free like 50 or 60 of them. They escape after that, but like they only end up with 12 women after all that stuff goes down.
They free like
what happens to what it's happens
about 20 something women.
There's more than that. They freed a lot of women, but like most of those women were not there when they got to the
what do you know? Do you know my favorite part about it was if you're paying attention?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that one of the extras that was playing a woman in there. Was the same chick that he kicked off the fucking thing.
Oh, one of the ninja chicks?
Yeah, one of the kung fu chicks. That's could awesome. Swear to God it was... Because she pans by the camera for a second, and I was like, it's the same woman.
Right. That's possible,
and the sexy kung fu chicks. The one that just gets murdered. He just murders
the woman. Yeah, and he kicks her off a fucking bridge, and she dies.
We don't even see how far that bridge goes down.
That's a pit, dude. It's like a Mortal Kombat pit.
And she's gone. I think she did fall into the black blood of the earth.
Because
they run into a bubble, that's totally her drowning.
Because, like, okay, so, like, getting back to that, like, the pit and all that other stuff, and all the other stuff, like, the Mortal Kombat posse, we keep saying that because, like,
it's totally Mortal Kombat.
Well, the Big Trouble in Little China has been cited as a huge influence in Mortal Kombat and their characters' levels, all that stuff, like, the pit that we just talked about, that's the pit in Mortal Kombat. The Mortal Kombat crew, that, like, is fucking Raiden and all those other guys, Kung Lao.
Oh, my God. Johnny Cage's
Jack. A lot of the music that you hear in Big Trouble in Little China sounds very much like the music you hear in Mortal Kombat.
Except for it wasn't done by, oh my God, what is the name of that group?
I don't know.
There's some group that they do ridiculous, they're like ridiculous and gross techno songs, and they did most of the soundtracks for Mortal Kombat.
But Johnny Cage is based off Roper from Enter the Dragon.
Yeah, I know like, who he is,
But Enter the Dragon, Big Trouble in China, like, that is Mortal Kombat in a nutshell.
Pretty much. I mean, the premise of Enter the Dragon is Mortal Kombat's premise from space, pretty much.
Yeah, when they do the movie, like, the movie for Mortal Kombat is a copy-paste of the Enter the Dragon plot.
Yeah, pretty much.
Their elements of the whole guy shooting fireballs and Outworld and all that shit.
Oh, and this is the part where you fall down.
Yeah, that part's great.
And then, also, like, Scorpion had, like, a...
That stuff's
like
awesome.
A demon living in his hand. He had, like, a demon Clippy living in his
hand. Dude, that was amazing. Like, for that time, it's still awesome. But, like,
yeah, it was weird, because I remember being, like... I know even as a kid, I was, like, I know that that's this throwing weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a thing attached to that. I'm like, oh, it's a demon that lives in his hand.
Okay.
And I was like, that's weird. And then I started following him around everywhere, and I was like, okay, that's accurate.
That was probably, out of all the video game movies... that have existed. I think that was that thing where the thing comes out of Scorpion's hand. That is probably the fucking best thing that has come out of video game adaptions into movie adaptions. Is that part right there?
No.
Have you seen that movie as an adult?
Yes.
Okay.
Still awesome.
It's
No,
it's nostalgic.
I've always said, and I haven't watched the new one that just came out, but you probably don't care because it's a newer type thing. The two Dead Rising movies that have come out recently, Watchtower and Endgame.
I didn't know that there were any.
I didn't know there were Dead Rising movies.
Okay, Watchtower came out last year. It's on Crackle, and Endgame's on Crackle as well. Rob Riggle plays Frank West, actually.
Really?
But hold on. So is Crackle the new direct-to-video?
Well, it's actually free.
Wow. So it's a step down.
Yes. But anyway, I have said last year that Dead Rising Watchtower, as far as like an adaptation of the video game, like the source material, was like one of the best video game movies I've seen. It's exactly like Dead Rising.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. Does he walk on zombies?
Yeah, well, all that hilarious shit's in there.
Does he disembowel anybody? Does he does he grab a big umbrella and run around with a big umbrella knocking people?
I don't think so, but they craft weapons and stuff like from 2 and 3 and everything. And like, it's great. The new character's great. Well, and like I said, Rob Riggle plays Frank West, but he's like on a talk show at the time, like during this outbreak. But he does a good job.
Does he give a survivor a gun only to realize that they're going to shoot him?
I think so, yeah. I think the crazy blonde chick, okay. Probably.
Well, spoiler, but, asshole.
Well, that was the first movie. That was over a year ago.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a Dead Rising movie. Yet.
There's actually three Dead Rising movies.
Wow.
There's those two that I mentioned, which just came out. And the other one...
Hold on.
The other one was made... when Dead Rising 2 came out, if you bought the special edition, which I have, Inafune actually directed it. And it's very Japanese. I don't think it's as good as the...
Like Tokyo Gore Police or something?
Is there ever a scene in any of those movies where they put on, where Frank West puts on the Mega Man helmet?
No.
Or just as a surf bot?
Frank West is only... Well, I haven't seen the newest one, but in the last one, he's only just on a talk show talking.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, whatever.
And I can't recall if there's a Surfbot. Like, I think there is a Surfbot helmet in the
Capcom
movie,
actively
though.
Hates actively hates Mega Man, which is why I think
well, obviously
they paid, they paid Mighty No. 9's company to make the game bad.
Well, I was going to say, obviously, because in Dead Rising 2, when you dress up as Proto Man, there's actually an 8-bit picture of Mega Man on his shoe, so you can step on him just like Capcom does all the time.
Oh, my God.
All right.
That's savage.
I want to talk about the movie a little bit more.
All right.
What I really wanted to focus on, like, okay, so they have this whole spiritual aspect to Big Trouble in China. And there's a lot of hokey stuff. Do you think by any chance that anyone who worked in the movie bothered to research anything that they talked about?
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But I've never cared enough about any of that to even give a crap.
But again,
you know what I just thought
about?
The movie starts as the flashback talking to the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't end that way. Like, he never answers the dude.
That's right.
It just goes to the ending sequence with the, like, Jack driving off.
Yeah.
And they never resolve the, hey, you're going to be in prison for the rest of your life, you murderer.
Yeah, and he has the lightning hands and shit.
Yeah, well, what they're going to do, they're going to take lightning, egg Shen, and put him in prison. He'll get out. He'll find China.
No, I think it'd be funny if, like, they lock him up in a prison thing to put him on the Hannibal thing, and someone's like, he will come out no more.
Well, it would be interesting to see Jack Burton's adventures, like what city he drives through, like Big Trouble in like Little Tokyo.
I think it'd be funny to put him in another...
Little Saigon?
It'd be funny to put him in another John Carpenter movie.
Like the character...
Yeah, put him in like John Carpenter's Vampire, see how that works out. What other movies did John Carpenter do? So many of them.
Oh, yeah, he did Escape from L.A. in New York.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he was in those. Yeah.
Which featured Kurt Russell as Snake Plissken in both those. And
he did the original Halloween.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was he in Halloween?
John Carpenter.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, like, Kurt Russell was in Halloween. I don't remember that. I've seen that movie a million times.
Kurt Russell's been doing a lot of Quentin Tarantino stuff.
Yeah, he's in...
Hateful Eight.
That was awesome,
Death Proof.
Douchebag. You're a douchebag.
Well, he did play.
Tell him what happened. Tell him
what happened. Oh, about Hateful Eight?
Yeah.
About how I went to go see the road show and
I've been asking forever for you to remind me when it was so we could go.
That's an alleged story.
You couldn't remember Christmas Day? You couldn't look it up on the internet when it was coming out?
No, I
went the
I
day
had
after
busy
Christmas.
Things to do.
I went the day after Christmas.
No, you don't.
I was working freaking 80-hour weeks.
I don't know about that.
Anyway, yeah, I went. It sold out. There was actually people complaining in lines like, what do you mean there's an intermission? It's like, what
the? Yeah, it was awesome. You know what I did during intermission? I went and got a fucking overpriced beer from the concession stand.
I thought you were going to say hooker.
No, that's...
I
probably would have had time to get one. You know?
It's only, 15 minutes. Plus that
that's
line.
Way, that's way more than you.
Insert joke here.
That line for the concession was mad long, though.
Yeah, you probably had enough time to get concessions and get a hoodie.
No, but I was thinking, I'm like, man, I feel like such a hipster because I'm like, I get why there's an intermission and why there's no previews and stuff. And like all these guys are like, what the hell? Because they just played music during the beginning as an overture, you know?
Well, yeah. They straight up had an overture?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Tarantino made it just like, you know, an old 60s road show.
I wonder what it was going to be like. The first time I saw a movie that did that was Seven Samurai, and I was confused. But then once I realized how fucking long the movie is, like, yeah, I guess they need an intermission. So then go out and take a piss.
Dude, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang has an intermission.
Right. I think, actually, the last movie I saw with an intermission before that was another Tarantino film, and it was the Grindhouse double, you know, with Robert Rodriguez and Tarantino. Yeah,
well, it's because that was
a... They were doing it like a Grindhouse. Because Tarantino's a hipster like that, which I appreciate in this case.
And that was Death Proof. What was the other
Planet one? Terror.
Planet Terror.
Yeah, which we met Rose McGowan that year.
Oh, my God. I tried to convince my dad to go see that with me, because the AMC Theater does that stuff all the time. Mm. But apparently nobody knows about it. So I went to see the Grindhouse thing. I think it was by myself. And I'm sitting there like, oh my God, this is like the old crappy like B-horror movies. Because they have those cool ass like fake trailers that are directed by random people. Like the trailer for the movie that became Machete. Oh, it was just Machete.
Yeah.
And then the like... Wasn't it like Nazi werewolf bimbos in space or
from
something?
From the SS werewolf women or something? Yeah, SS werewolf women. Rob Zombie did that one, yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, his wife was in it.
And Thanksgiving.
Yeah. But yeah, I saw that one. That one was crazy. It was two movies.
Yeah.
Back to back. And the intermission, I think, was like 30 minutes or something like that.
It was
that.
15 to 30.
Jeez, yeah.
It was 30 minutes for that
one. We're going back to Big Trouble. They've been talking about remake here, which I've always dreaded.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't looked into it. Have you heard of anyone they were trying to cast for that? Just
No.
I'm sure
let's find out, though.
Go ahead and look it up, because I don't know.
Do you think they would recast all the Chinese people as transgender Muslims? Since Hollywood's on a big, let's force progressive.
I thought they were on a big whitewashing thing, according to the internet.
Well, there's that, too, but there's a mix of
whitewashing. I'm totally going to see Ghost in the Shell. I'm definitely going to see Scarlett Johansson. Just to spite people.
Dude, I'll
and I like Scarlett Johansson.
What?
I also like Scarlett
Johansson. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to it in whiteface.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to
be like normally?
No, I'm going to go like...
Doink the Clown?
I'm going to get a jacket. I'm going to get a jacket and I'm going to get some pants.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some of those little goggles. And I'm going to be like, hey, I'm Bato. Look at all this donuts. And like Kerry Onigiri called donuts and shit. That would be awesome.
Oh, I have no faith that Hollywood do it right because it's not a property they own.
Who was the director of it?
Of what? Big Trouble?
Of Ghost in the Shell.
I don't know who the director of this one is.
They announced it. They announced Scarlett Johansson as Motoko.
Yeah.
You know, there was a bunch of people that went out and did interviews with Japanese people, and they're like, what do you think about this? And then they explained to them what whitewashing was. And then when they were done, they're like, oh, she looks good. Like, she looks like the character. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, we like that. Like, that looks really good.
Well, they don't even care about Ghost of the Show.
And they're like, don't you even think, like, do you think it should be a Japanese person? They're like, oh, maybe. Like, it's a Hollywood movie. Nobody's surprised.
No, my favorite argument is always like, well, they should cast that one chick from Pacific Rim. I'm like, okay, because she's the only Asian actress. Because she's the only
Asian actress. There's a bunch of Asian actresses.
I'm sure they could find someone.
Yeah. There's that.
I know. I was like, well, my comeback is I would prefer they just make another animated Ghost of the Show movie. Put that in theaters.
Well,
and that
actually happened. Just got three, like, last year, right?
Well, that actually happened last year. Last October, they made a new Ghost of the Shell movie called Ghost of the Shell, the new movie.
Very
creative, but it was the finale of the whole Arise storyline. And I was satisfied with that. I'm like, cool.
There you go.
So, like, I'm also greedy, so I'd prefer if they also put the original Ghost of the Shell movie back in theaters.
That can't be right.
What's up?
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently it can't be right, whatever it is.
I don't know, I just feel like if they did a remake of Big Trouble.
Here's the article on Big Trouble in Little China 2.
Oh, you found it. Oh, 2.
Go ahead.
It's
a remake, but it's been titled Big Trouble in Little China 2.
Okay.
It starts with the words Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
As Jack Burton.
Is in negotiations to star in... produce remake of John Carpenter's classic.
Dwayne would produce the movie?
Yeah, it says that he's in negotiations to star in and produce the remake of John Carpenter's cult classic Big Trouble.
Would it be Jack Burton or would it be someone else?
Oh, I think that's God! Written by X-Men First. Oh, God.
Oh, I already know what you're talking about.
Well, like I said, we'll see how that goes. I'm pretty sure it won't go very far.
I mean, The Rock.
I don't think he'd be playing Jack Burton, and if he is, that's...
It's just some of the writers.
I mean, a lot of... I mean, The Rock is awesome, but a lot of his movies are not.
Yes, indeed.
What was the new movie he was supposed to be in?
Well, he's in that one with Kevin Hart, you know, that new buddy cop movie. CIA or something.
Yeah, Kevin Hart's my his go-away heat with me.
Yeah.
That's like, I watched him in a movie that had...
Which one of them supposed to be Russian?
I watched Kevin Hart in a movie that has that had Sylvester Stallone and Robert De Niro. Mm. It was a boxing movie, and the play is, you know, Robert De Niro was Raging Bull. Freaking Stallone was freaking Rocky. So the idea is they're old geezers trying to see if they have one more in them.
Yeah, I have a shirt from that movie, actually, like a promotional shirt.
Yeah, but Kevin Hart was supposed to be the comedic relief, and he was the worst part of the movie.
Is Kevin Hart still wrestling after what happened to his brother?
He was
I'm shaking my head here.
He was a celebrity guest general manager one time on Raw.
And I think that totally went above
Wasn't
head.
He
I know. I'm not... I know what he was
you're just, you're not humoring him.
Oh, I'm definitely not going to give Sean the time of day.
He had an illustrious career. I don't, shame what happened to
him. I'm not going to give Sean the time of day. That's all I got to say about that. But Kevin Hart is pretty fucking terrible. Anytime someone tells me they think Kevin Hart's funny, I want to punch him in the dick.
I've never seen any of his stand-up or anything.
His stand-up might be... I mean, I can't say that I've seen much of it. I think his stand-up would probably be better than... His acting seems like kind of what Chris Tucker did in Rush Hour, pretty much.
Worse.
But worse.
My sister seems to like him. And my sister likes Cat Williams, so obviously he's not worth my time.
Ah, Cat Williams, I remember when he didn't show up.
Back.
Yeah.
When he didn't show up to that show in Tampa when we had to drive through downtown.
My sister also thought that Soul Plane was funny. So.
Oh my god.
Holy shit. It's like, what were her thoughts on The Adventures of Pluto Nash?
I don't think she's cultured enough to have seen that.
But, The Rock, damn. That doesn't guarantee anything because, okay, yeah, The Rock will be fine, but the rest of the week will probably stink.
Yeah. I'd still be fine, like, if they did it right, which, like you said much earlier, if Hollywood get their hands on it, there's a good chance they wouldn't.
Well, they don't make, they hardly ever make fun movies.
Yeah, just like an older Jack Burton, Kurt Russell.
I would like to see a grizzled Jack Burton yeah. who's still a fucking truck driver.
Yeah, still a truck driver, still kind of a fuck
up. I think it'd be funny, like, like they have him in the movie and he shows up and the monster is, like, his co-driver.
Yes! I'd be fine with that.
Be like, you know what Jack Burton always says? Tell him. Rah, 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 rah. That's right, buddy.
I can live with that, for sure. Like, he befriends the monster. Then. Yeah. See, because that's fun. That sounds fun.
Sorry I kicked you in the nuts 30 years ago.
There's plenty of mystical stuff that, like, the whole idea is, like, you take this every man, hot-blooded American, and then you put him in this mystical Asian thing.
Oh, yeah, that was
no sense.
They have the, like... Yeah, America moment in the movie. So like, yeah, we're immigrants. Welcome to assimilation, guys.
Yeah, you want to be Dirty Harry?
Yeah, but like, that's the idea. Awesome. He goes in and he Americanizes the whole culture in the span of 90 minutes.
You got any guns? You mean against Lil Pan? No, but I got this one. Make you feel better. Make you feel like
Dirty Harry. Didn't have Wang listening to Johnny Cash at the end of the movie.
No, he was just smoking a bong and walking out stoned.
But it would be interesting. No, that was Egg Shen.
Oh yeah, that's what I said.
Who unfortunately could not be in the sequel because he's dead.
Yeah.
So that sucks. Yeah. I think everyone else is alive. Even
maybe some of those Asian guys died. I mean, they do live in California.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they bring some of the old guys back. They should try to bring back Wang if possible. But I don't know. If they don't have Kurt Russell in there, like, who gives a fuck?
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, all right, sorry, Rock. You have a lot of personality and you have a lot of charisma. And you can be a badass, but
he was a face.
Rock is also tries too hard to be cool guy. Like, when he did his return back to WWE, that was his whole thing. It's like, I'm going to be so much cooler than everyone else, that he ended up coming off as kind of like this lame phony.
Yeah.
Especially when John Cena outed him for writing notes on his arm.
That was the best, yes.
Yes. Like, The Rock, to me, like, after that outing happened, I lost total interest in The Rock.
Dude, and then anytime John Cena starts trailing back towards the Doctor of Thuganomics persona, even just for a little bit, I love it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Sean, we can't see you.
I'm doing the John Cena thing.
Also,
his mother would be proud.
Which is the Jonathan Joestar.
Yes.
Yeah.
He did it first in the 1800s.
Yeah. Well, John Cena is a fan of Japanimation.
Yes, Fist of the North Star.
Yeah, maybe he read some JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
He's too. Also apparently a big Scooby-Doo fan.
He's got a prominent role in that movie.
He does. We wouldn't have been able to understand Ray Mysterio Jr.
Sin Cara.
That's what I said.
That is the best Scooby-Doo movie ever, by the way.
It's the second best Scooby-Doo movie ever.
What's the best one?
Something. I don't know. Whatever.
I'm pretty sure the WWE Scooby-Doo movie is the best one.
I don't know. They met the Harlem Globetrotters so many times. Yeah, there we go. And they met Batman and Robin, the Adam West version.
Oh, yeah. No,
that's not as good.
Scooby-Doo movies with the Mamas and the Papas.
Yes, with Mama Cass.
Yeah. Heavy. You're not so light yourself, honey.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Believe it or not, they were before your time.
Yeah, well, I've seen the Globetrotters one and the Batman
There's
and Robin
a few
one.
Of the Globetrotters one.
They met the Addams Family on one of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Well, there was the time where they were the summer camp for a show that no one gives a shit about. That was kind of Addams Family-ish for
camp
like the
Candy?
Ghoul Girl camps.
Oh, yeah, I know what you were... The Ghoul School, I think
ghoul
it was
school,
called, or
yeah.
something like that.
It's
yeah.
like Ghoul Girls School.
I think those
something.
Were the ones where it was just like Scooby, Scrappy, and Shaggy
yeah.
hanging out.
And not like the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo were like...
With Vincent Price, pretty yeah. much.
And then like... It was like Shaggy and...
Scooby Dumb, I think. Was Dumb in
it's
that one?
Shaggy, Scooby-Doo, Scrappy, the kid Flim Flam... And Daphne.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like Daphne just hanging out with Shaggy most yeah. of the time. We were like, how the fuck did this happen? We like, I was under the impression that you were just here for Fred, but apparently you're a swell gal.
Have you read any of that new Scooby-Doo comic that looks
I
actually
know
interesting?
There was a new Scooby-Doo,
Scooby-Doo comic. Apocalypse, I think? Dude, alright.
I've heard about this.
Now, Hanna-Barbera, I guess it would be, they let their properties, you know, go for comics for like these outlandish ones like, there's one called Scooby-Doo Apocalypse where it's like, you know, all hell's breaking loose and it's like a modern era Scooby-Doo. Like, Shaggy has a fucking curly mustache.
Oh my
you know?
God.
So he's a douchebag.
Right.
Does he have a beard and can't change
a
tire?
He's just a stoner.
And it's just
hey,
like.
He could change a tire. I saw that happen.
There's one that I didn't even know about until I actually saw it at a comic shop last time I went there. It's like a Wacky Races, but in like a Mad Max style.
Somebody told me.
I gotta look for that.
And then there's also one called Quest World, or not Quest World, Future Quest, where it's like mm-hmm. Space Ghost, the Herculoids, the Galaxy Trio, Johnny Quest, just all packed into this one
That's
story.
Hilarious.
Oh, have you heard about Bart Kira?
I've heard of it.
I
yes.
saw it, and I need to make this purchase now that you brought this up. I also remember seeing this at a comic shop up front. They have something called Bart Kira, which is, for whatever reason, a Simpsons Akira mashup.
Oh, wow. That does sound like a masterpiece.
And I read through some of it, and I'm like, holy crap. They're drawing Akira scenes with Simpsons characters.
I think the last
what
thing
the
that
fuck?
I read that was even close to that was the, like, Death of Archie or whatever. Or Archie's Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Which oh, was man. Actually like, oh, they're making this serious.
Yeah, and then they also made Life After Archie.
Oh, no. I read the Sabrina the Teenage Witch one. Where, with the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, yeah, because, Hot Dog starts it, I think. Jughead's dog gets killed.
Yeah, Jughead's dog gets killed.
So wow.
Yeah, they bring her to Dio? Sabrina the Teenage Witch. To bring him back to life, and she messes up and ends up raising the dead. Oh. It was like a zombie apocalypse.
No one turned into a metal suit.
I think
of armor.
Cherry Blossom died in that one.
Wow, that sounds all interesting.
Yeah, well, it's an era where a lot of people get away with stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, if all those hipsters would put down their Saga and start reading something fun,
Saga and Chew,
fuck Saga. I'm the only person that doesn't like that.
I have no opinion on it because I haven't read it yet.
The art is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks like, you ever seen those, like weird avant-garde, like, art magazines from a long-ass time ago?
Yeah.
The art looks like a mix between that and, like, some modern art.
Yeah.
But the story starts going pretty good, and then it descends into some shit that I don't give a fuck about. And you're just like, wow, you just put, like, some alien twists on an old-ass story, pretty much. There's nothing really new coming from it. They're just switching up, like, who's delivering the story. And I was just like, I'm not super interested in this. At the part where the one of the main characters early on, like, his alien wife has an alien baby, and they're both aliens, and Romeo and Juliet. And he's got a sword. She has the baby. And she's like, use the sword to cut the umbilical cord. He's like, no, I'll never draw my sword again. Like, why the fuck do you still have it? That doesn't make sense. Be like, you can make an exception to do this. It's medically sound. I was like, this is every time I read it, like, don't you like this? Like, no. I've read all the stories it's stealing its ideas from.
Yeah, I've been out of the comics world for quite a while. It's like one of those expenses that I'm like, I'll just cut that.
Well, I've got all of Marvel last year, the year before, and this year. And I've been meaning to read them because Justin's on this kick where he's reading all of X-Men. All of X-Men.
That poor guy. That's why he's sick.
X-Men's actually pretty good.
Most of the time it's pretty bad.
I have read...
That's not true.
Up until the end of last year, I caught up with all the Star Wars ones that were out, and those were all, for the most part, pretty good.
Oh my god. All of the Star Wars comics?
All of them.
Because there's a lot.
Well, at the time I was reading, there was only like 5 side stories.
Okay, no.
But now I know there's so many of them.
Do you want my folder that has all of the Star Wars comics?
I might as well if I want to
actually read them. Because it's like 27 gigs.
I bet, because everyone has a side story that's at least 5 issues apparently.
Well, there's also like
the main series, like the Darth Vader and the Star Wars, and even those crossed over with the Vader Down storyline. That's true,
but then you have like the Planet Sith or whatever.
And Canon, The Last Padawan was going on for a while. I think that's over now, though.
I think, yes.
I think so, yeah.
You're right. Regardless, but yeah, it's all the way back from like when Star Wars came out. There's so
much. Oh, you mean it's like
all the Star Wars.
So everything from like the '70s.
It's everything.
Gotcha. That's why it's that big.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's literally everything that's been printed involving Star Wars. I think it's missing like 6 things because nobody can get their hands on them or some
shit. Nah, I was just talking about the new canon stuff, which has been pretty good for the most part.
Well, I've been slogging through that from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I've had it for well over a year. I don't think I'm even halfway through any of the books. I think I'm just getting ready to get to Star Wars Bounty Hunters. Mm. And that's a while ago. Those were Dark Horse, I think.
Right. They make a comic about the Star Wars Stormtrooper with the rod.
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
TR-8R.
That's not his number. That's just what the internet called him. God damn it, you're going to make me go on a nerd rant already.
But seriously, though, most of the X-Men books are pretty damn good.
I've read enough of them over the years, but they have their moments, but you have to slog through a bunch of bullshit to get to good stuff.
That's not true. You get, like, you go from, what is it, Man Kills, God Loves, that's just really good.
Well, you get to like, most of like the 90s stuff like, that's good. About the one that Chris Claremont wrote in the 80s?
I think that's Chris Claremont's.
Yeah, that was a still story. Do you get into
the ties that bind? That's pretty good.
We tell like individual stories that are sprinkled along this history that's been around since the 60s. A lot of stuff's bad. Like, overall.
There's way more good than bad in
X-Men. I strongly disagree.
Oh, you're strongly wrong, though.
No, I'm right, because I'm Kent Ward.
You're emphatically wrong.
I read through those X-Men comics, especially like a lot of the 90s stuff was very junky.
And even then, there's like 8 of them in the 90s.
All of them, because they all like were in the same universe.
Well, except for like Generation X, that's better than most comics today, or like even X-Force that had a good run.
Well, X-Force had a good run early on once it got its footing.
Excalibur Volume 1 and 2 that are way better than most modern comics. All early 90s X-Men.
I guess what I'm trying to say is the post-Onslaught X-Men was pretty terrible.
You had maybe a 3-year period with side stuff that was bad.
Then the other things that pissed me off is like when the movies came out eventually, like they were rebranding the X-Men and fall in line with that just abruptly, but you knew as a person reading it, the reason they just started doing this all of a sudden was to match up with the movies and like the storylines, like the stuff with Cassandra and freaking Zorn and the real who Zorn was and all that shit is and Jean Grey's dead again and all that other stuff like all that stuff.
Wasn't she dead in comic continuity when the first movie came out?
I'm pretty sure she was. I mean, I'm not the expert on that.
But she was alive, but they killed her. She was alive, but then they killed her again.
Okay. You would know more than for sure.
Because that's when I was like, you know,
course, she's been dead. For a while.
Yeah, but now Jean Grey's back from the past.
The 92 X-Men, which was surprisingly good.
I thought it was going to suck. Bothered me, like, when they had Colossus sacrifice his life as a cure for the Legacy Virus, because Joss Whedon had to write comic books, and he was writing Astonishing X-Men, and he liked Colossus so much.
Yeah, I actually read that, run that he did.
I was so fucking pissed.
Yeah, he's been back for years.
They know. Well, no, I'm talking about like when they brought that back. When I was there, when they brought him back in Astonishing X-Men, and their storyline is the whole thing with the Legacy Virus. It was a virus that ravaged so many mutants that killed them, including Colossus' little daughter, or little sister, rather. My bad. And like the cure for the Legacy Virus meant it had to be born from like a dead mutant. Like a mutant would actually have to kill himself in order to do it. And that was when Beast discovered that he pretty much gave up on that. But when Colossus found out what the deal was...
Was it Beast or was it Alter Beast?
It was Real Beast. I know what you're talking about. He's talking about Real Beast, not Age of Apocalypse Beast.
Right, yes.
The Real Beast.
It's like still going because their excuse for that was the universe is split and it makes a new one and the other one just continues on.
Yeah, it's bullshit. More bullshit from that.
Most of those aren't around anymore.
Yeah, right now it's just one big amalgamation.
Right, right. No. Anyways, so Colossus found out what the deal was, and without a hesitation, he used it on himself, took his life, so the legacy virus could be cured. Awesome. Very honorable death. Mm. So, they have this bullshit where Joss Whedon's a writer, and he's a hack, by the way. Nerds.
Sorry, Josh Whedon.
He's the one who wrote Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Firefly.
He directed the Avengers movies.
Yeah.
I hate Firefly because it's just annoying as shit.
Firefly is fine, but like when it came to Astonishing X-Men, it pissed me off because like here's this very honorable death that had huge changes in the Marvel Universe, especially the X-Books. Mm. That's like, oh, that didn't really happen. That was someone else. He didn't die. That was someone else you cremated and all that stuff. Because they cremated, Kitty probably cremated Colossus and spread his ashes across the shores of Russia, Colossus' home country. And freaking... They're like, oh, now someone else you cremated. Colossus alive this whole time. It's like, no, you motherfucker. I know comic books make up bullshit when it comes to bringing back characters.
Except for Wolverine.
But some characters should probably just, when they do that, when they have that kind of death, honor that death.
Yeah.
Don't shit on it. And that's what Josh Whedon, hack fucking fanfiction writer, shat on Colossus' death. Yeah. They're bringing him back just so Colossus could do absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and he also sent Kitty Pryde into space, I believe.
Yeah, some other bullshit like that. Plus that whole run of Plus Whedon's run of Astonishing X-Men was fucking lackluster. There was nothing notable about it. There's a couple of neat parts, like the Danger Room became a sentient entity.
Oh yeah,
and then don't forget the fight that was.
Well, she was apparently always a creature, but it became its own like self-contained person.
I mean, that was kind of a neat thing. I mean, except what do you do with the Danger Room after that?
No, it wasn't till recently, because everything that she's involved in is just really, really poorly written until a little while
ago. All right. But even then, Joss Whedon's run was falling behind. They're getting ready for this whole, like, House of M storyline. And freaking Whedon's run is falling behind while House of M is going on.
Even despite that, if they gave Whedon the X-Men movies, we'd finally have a good X-Men movie.
They've gotten better.
Days of Future Past, I think, was the best of that whole thing.
I thought Apocalypse was fine, too.
I haven't gotten around to seeing it yet,
so
I don't know.
Days of Future Past is meh at best.
It's better than
the comics. Coming from you, I'll take it.
It's better than the source material.
Days of Future Past, absolutely not.
The comics are pretty shitty.
What are you talking about?
It was just a two-part story. I had no real... It was when they had to revisit that storyline in later issues, like when Bishop came in and all that stuff. That's when it had more relevance. But to me, it was just like this... standalone two-part story that had no long-term consequences on the series.
Well, that's going to be also...
It started another major plot line and universe.
Well, not for a long ass time until like some guys were like, hey, that thing, we should probably go back into that. But at the time, it was a nothing story.
Yeah, but here's what also we know in comics these days. Nothing matters, anyway.
That's why I don't read them.
That's the thing. Well, then stick to like smaller stories and stuff, you know, like.
Well, like there's independent stuff, just, like
yeah, like independent.
This would be a fantastic time, everyone.
Yeah, everybody
to actually start reading Transmetropolitan if you haven't, because
it
is super accurate to what's going on.
We're almost there.
Transmetropolitan ended up being a prophecy, not just a comic book, but a prophecy.
Yeah.
All right, I'm old and tired.
Yeah. We know.
I know. Well. I'm hungry myself.
So. You're hungry? Yes. We'll get something to eat?
We'll get something to eat after this.
You want
to
eat it in the microphone? Just have noise for a bit?
No, that's all right.
All right. How long did we run?
About the same as a usual episode for us, an hour and 40 minutes.
Holy shit.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Well, here's the thing, Kenzie. We just get talking and we go with it. You know, I know we should wrap it up sometimes. Yeah, you have like an hour time limit usually.
Well, I don't want to talk to Shane for more than an hour anyways.
Fair enough.
Why don't you just use the normal method that everybody uses, just fucking spin kicks to mouth.
Next time, yeah, live on the next episode of Propeller Anime Radio, I want to hear a spin kick to Shane's mouth.
Yeah, all right. I want to hear the whip. I want it to be like the spin kick from Benny the Jet and Wheels on Meals, where it puts the fucking candles out behind him, that. We're going to watch more movies with you. Okay. This is actually really cool. You get to see Big Trouble in Little China for the first time.
I know, right? Yeah.
We should do more movie reviews with you.
Dude, like I said, the stars aligned perfectly tonight. It's like, and I only mentioned that thing about Kemp because, like, I always think about him when I hear about Big Trouble in Little China because of, like, the John Carpenter thing and everything. And it's just like, oh, he's here today. It's like, yeah. Oh, okay, well, let's get together and watch it.
And yeah, Kemp essentially came here to came down here to bitch at me about the anime panel.
That sounds about right.
Oh, yeah, anime panel's coming back.
Yeah.
AFO, guys?
Yeah, of course. And probably AWA, we'll see. But winning on them. Probably. But Big Trouble in Little China is definitely a super manly movie, so that's good. Good training video to get us ready for an anime panel.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, so yeah, this has been episode 12 then, a very special episode, I would say. You can find me pretty much everywhere at SayMan886, Twitter, Facebook, Xbox Live, PlayStation Network, MastersOfNothing.com, Twitter's Masters of Not, Google Plus is still Plus Jake and John Pod. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play Podcasts. I think that covers it. I should really just pre-record that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting a disapproving nod from...
Well, Jared and I are actually going to try to start a monthly soon, too.
Oh, good.
So,
yeah, and...
Because he's got his job working for Big Pokey now.
Yeah, and you can always find us another podcast on the BitBless Network. And you guys go ahead and promote your shit if you want
to.
Yeah,
you go first.
The easiest one's Propeller Anime. If you like anime, we have a podcast. And if you live in Orlando, we do monthly events and parties throughout the year. And I also do a thing called Ongaku Overdrive. So if you like video game bands and chiptunes and nerdcore hip-hop, check out ongakuoverdrive.com. We have a show coming up in August. That's going to be a celebration of Metroid's 30th anniversary with bands like Bit Brigade and the Super Guitar Brothers. So if you live in Orlando, I do a lot of stuff all the time. I'm easily found.
And then you guys probably know me. I'm just a private miscreant. So mine is Twitter's Zashu on Twitter, Zashu. I just pretty much talk about whatever, like this podcast and rant about stuff like that. And then Manime Panel stuff I update through there. So if you guys want to get a hold of me, I think I'm doing movies all next month. Like I got a whole big list of movies to review. But yeah, that's about it.
All right, sounds good. And with that, I think I've paid my dues tonight.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, what songs?
Checks in the mail, right?
Checks in the mail. I haven't been using songs in this one.
What the fuck? Is there not... Find a song called Checks in the Mail. Put that in.
All right, will do.
All right.
See ya.
You're listening to Checks in the Mail by whoever wrote it.
Checks in the mail. Hey, you're beautiful. Don't ever change. You